B-Pod Studios.
Just wanted to give you a few good minutes here on All Elite Wrestling's Grand Slam Dynamite show on Wednesday night. AEW has such great momentum right now, and their week-to-week TV is really must-watch, and it's must-watch live. Wednesday night's AEW show was about as well-paced a wrestling TV show as there's been in a long time, I think. I can't believe I was really shocked that AEW opened up with Danielson against Omega. This matchup was as good a pro wrestling match as you'll ever see. The pacing, the story of Danielson working on the arm, Omega using his offensive weapons, the chops, the kicks, the knees, working on Danielson's chest and back. I popped hard for Danielson breaking out cattle mutilation, which if you're not familiar with that hold, you'll want to check out Bryan Danielson's work in Ring of Honor in the mid-2000s. I cringed when Kenny Omega did the snap suplex on Danielson on the plexiglass covering the video screens on the rampway. Later in the match, Omega did his snapdragon suplex off the top rope, but Bryan rotated too much and landed flat on his stomach, which Shivani and Excalibur called out on the broadcast. It was one of many strong false finishes during this match. Just the counter, the high impact moves for 30 minutes. This is really what made this match so good. This is what Bryan Danielson talks about when he says good pro wrestling can get anybody. I didn't think of the time limit draw until it was mentioned on the show. What I loved was Danielson and Omega fought through the time limit draw. It was very different. A lot of times when doing a time limit draw in pro wrestling, the finish is a flurry of pinfalls, submissions to try to win. Think WrestleMania 12, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Bret is trying to get Shawn Michaels to tap out to the sharpshooter before the 60-minute clock expires. Doesn't happen. Bell rings. They go to overtime. Shawn wins on a super kick. Sting trying to get Ric Flair to give up at the first Clash of Champions, where Flair and Sting went to a 45-minute TV time limit draw. In the Omega Okada 60-minute time limit draw, Okada hits the Rainmaker and couldn't make the cover before the time limit expired. I just love that Danielson and Omega fought through the time limit. It was a war. It was a battle. It was great combat sports there. And Excalibur mentioned, hey, if this match went another minute, Danielson can get the label lock on Omega. And we've seen Omega tap out to it. Something to file away. I can't wait for the next time that these two meet. This was Kenny Omega's best match in All Elite Wrestling. This match made me feel love again for the Kenny Omega that I loved when he was in New Japan fighting Chris Jericho and Okada. This was clearly Kenny Omega's best match that I've seen in North America. Maybe it was better if it would have been in the Tokyo Dome, but who knows? Now, after the Omega Danielson match, I need more, and I need more of the story. The post-match triple super kick on Danielson was a nice touch to make sure that Omega and his group were booed, and it took away from the booing of the time limit draw finish. This was an instance that a time limit draw helps move a story forward. CM Punk came out and did his promo. He talked about being happy CM Punk and that mad CM Punk would come, but be careful what you wish for. Good promo, good spacing following that match. And Punk even said, hey, I don't want to follow that match. I'm glad I'm working Rampage and not Dynamite. Nice comment. And Punk used his social media to say that he was in the crowd watching that match. Good change of pace there. Let Punk talk. Let people kind of settle in, relax, and promote your next show. I don't want to see mad CM Punk. I don't want to see CM Punk as a villain right now. I just don't. I know Riley wants to turn CM Punk into a bad guy. I saw other wrestling media members on social media want the CM Punk villain turn. I don't want it now. I want to see CM Punk happy to be a wrestler and happy to be a wrestling fan right now. A year from now, if you want to tell me a story where CM Punk feels the need to cheat to win the AEW championship, I am here for it. But I am not ready, and I do not feel the need to boo CM Punk because that's the story that AEW is telling me. I don't want that story. I'm not ready for it yet. I know that as a fan, I don't have to cheer or boo anyone I don't want to. But I like the idea that I can sing Cult of Personality with 20,000 other wrestling fans, and I'm not cheering a wrestler that everyone else is booing. We as fans, now more than ever, make the choice of who we want to cheer and who we want to boo. But it seems like there's this vibe of turn this person heel, turn that person heel. Not all heel turns draw money. MJF we boo because as fans, we're in on the bit. Cody got booed in New York. And I think that that was more of his opponent, Malakai Black, than it was Cody. And I might have this read completely wrong, but Cody's comeback was supposed to be the conquering hero, and it wasn't received that way. And I have been super harsh on Cody Rhodes, but if I'm speaking objectively, what has Cody done on screen that deserves the fans to boo him? He puts over Malakai Black strong in their first outing, and then again strong here. He's helped Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Brody Lee squashed him for the TNT title. Cody tried to make me care about QT Marshall. Malakai Black kicked out of the Crossroads and cheated to win. So my question is, if you're a fan booing Cody Rhodes, why are you booing Cody Rhodes? I'm interested in this. One of the great things about All Elite Wrestling is how Britt Baker, the AEW Women's Champion, can main event any one of their TV shows, and she has. Baker and Soho put on an excellent match to close out Dynamite, with Baker retaining by cheating. Britt Baker is a star, and for me, it's a matter of time before Britt Baker is main eventing a pay-per-view. Yes, I said main eventing a pay-per-view. I think that main event would need some flair in it, but maybe a year from now, we can bank on a different style of AEW main event. One small production detail that I liked, and I'm not sure if it was a timing thing or how AEW has been constantly doing it, but during Cody's entrance, AEW did a recap video of the Black versus Cody story. I'm not sure it was more than 45 seconds, but it wasn't overproduced. It was a very simple package of the key highlights in the story, in the previous match that Black and Cody had. And the announcers talked over it. I want more of that. The live crowd, who knows the story, had the Cody entrance to entertain them, while the TV audience, who might not know the entire story, got a quick recap. It's a small, nerdy producer detail that jumped at me watching Dynamite on Wednesday night. I really liked it. Again, maybe they've been doing it often, but this is the first time that it really stood out to me. Friday night Rampage is 2 hours. It's going to have CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Adam Cole teaming with the Young Bucks. It's taped, but don't let the taped part get in the way of enjoying the show. That New York crowd is just a special crowd, and their energy came through the television screen on Wednesday night, and I think it's going to continue to on Rampage on Friday night. There's a lot of good wrestling in the world right now. Find your happy place and enjoy it. Talk to you after Extreme Rules.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.